Bet on Bears fans, another edition of the Chicago Bears podcast coming your way. Pat the Designer back at it again. On today's episode, we got a lot to get into. OTAs number two underway. What do we want to see the Chicago Bears team improve on from one OTA to the next? I've got some things that I want to see this Bears team take that next step in, and it doesn't mean it has to be the final step, just the next step in this process. Also, PFF asked the biggest question on the Chicago Bears, and according to them, it's the running back room. Do you agree? And is there a situation where we could see an upgrade possibly coming to this Bears team in that running back room? And then finally, PFF ranking the wide receivers, and DJ Moore maybe coming in a little bit lower than some Bears fans want. We'll talk about all that more in today's episode of the Chicago Bears podcast. Hit that like button, subscribe to the page, leave a 5-star review. Y'all know what to do. We do want to let you guys know today's episode of the Chicago Bears podcast is brought to you by the Advantage Dealer Group. Find your next Chevy, Toyota, or Acura and drive off in under 60 minutes, or they'll make your first car payment. Also brought to you by the Hard Rock Casino in Northern Indiana, Las Vegas-style gaming, just 30 minutes from Soldier Field, exit 6, right off of I-80-94. All right, let's jump into this episode, guys. Appreciate y'all, like I said, for tuning in and rocking with us. Very, very fun time here around Chicago, especially with OTAs getting a chance to get a look at what Ben Johnson is going to be able to do with this team early in practice and how much they're improving from one practice to the next. When you talk about OTA number one, I think some of the key things that really stood out was the quarterback chemistry with some of the receivers. Once he was able to get comfortable, how him and Roma Dunze really had a feel, how he was able to get the ball in there to DJ Moore, talking about Caleb Williams, of course, but there was some up and down in there, right? It wasn't all perfect. Everybody talked about the Ben Johnson blow up at Cole Kmet. There were a couple of those moments where the coaches did have to get on the players. I think there were some interesting absences as well. Luther Burden being missing from that practice. That's something to keep an eye on here as we head into OTA number two, right? Ben Johnson said last week, you know, he's got a soft tissue issue, and we don't know exactly when we're going to be getting him back yet. That's something to pay attention to. If you don't want your rookie missing these early OTAs, missing minicamp, missing the offseason program, those are things that can be impactful when you get into a season. Not to say, you know, if he's back for training camp, that's a completely different situation, but you don't want to see Luther Burden starting to get behind the eight ball because he's a little bit banged up to start off here. Remember, that was something that we dealt with last year with Karan Amagaji, who ended up missing the entire offseason program, still rehabbing from that injury he had. And then when he was finally able to get into a game, it kind of was like just basically throwing him to the wolves and telling him, figure this out on your own. Don't want to have that situation with Luther Burden, although the wide receiver position, a very different position. You can kind of figure some things out. There's ways to circumvent some of the struggles that may come there, but something to keep an eye on nonetheless. As we head into this OTA number two, some things I am going to be focusing in on. I think starting off, the quarterback comfortability. Caleb Williams didn't look uncomfortable. I think, in fact, he had a really good tempo early on in that practice, a longer practice, but you saw him getting to it fairly consistently, getting in the huddle, calling the play, getting everybody lined up. It was quick. I mean, it was not like we were taking our time. Guys were struggling to figure out what the play call was. Guys were struggling to figure out, okay, you know, where am I supposed to be? How am I supposed to be? There's a couple of times where Caleb had to look down. I think there was one time last week that I'm trying to remember who the receiver was. It may have been J.P. Richardson, who Cam Darling. It may have been J.P. Richardson, but there was a moment where Caleb had to kind of tell him, hey, you're too far out. You got to come in. You got to come in. He, you know, eventually he ends up sliding in. I just felt like, you know, the comfortability of the quarterback to his wide receivers, it was very up and down. It was a very fluid situation, as Ben Johnson talks about a ton, right? It was one of those moments where, you know, there were times where Caleb and Roma Dunze were absolutely locked in and they looked phenomenal together. There were times where it seemed like Caleb Williams was thrown to the wrong spot. There were times where Caleb and DJ Moore seemed locked in. There were times where Caleb Williams was thrown to the wrong spot or DJ Moore maybe ran the wrong route. Either way, right? Like there were those moments that we were seeing in week 16 play out yet again. But new system, new people. I want to see Not only is the tempo improved, but also is the chemistry and the comfortability in the system moving in the right direction? And on top of that, is Caleb Williams getting comfortable playing under center? We saw Caleb mostly, I want to say, in the shotgun early on in that practice. Again, 7-on-7 situation, you're not going to be up under center. We'll probably see more of that at training camp. But do we see any of that where Caleb Williams is standing under center, and how does he look with that? So many people are focused on that left foot being forward, but remember, that's something big that the Bears really want to develop with Caleb Williams coming in here into this practice, into this OTA process. This is a time we'll probably see a lot more of that. So hope to see some of that and just see the comfortability improve between Caleb and this team as a whole. And I'll be honest with you. The big question for me coming from OTA 1 to OTA 2 is the yelling working, right? Everybody focused in on the screaming that we saw last week, and that was the pro. Oh, my God, he's yelling at his players. That's not a way that you need to coach. He's getting after it. I don't care one way or the other how you feel about it. Is it working, right? Is the process working? Is going after Cole Kmet going to affect coming into this practice where Cole Kmet is getting lined up in the right spot and getting lined up in the right way? Like the video if you agree with this spot here, because that's all that matters. That's all that matters. Is this helping the team develop and move forward, or are we yelling at guys about the same situations over and over and over again? Because in that case, then you realize, okay, this style of coaching is not working for these guys, which could be the problem of the guys, which could be, you know, the coaches need to adjust their style a little bit for specific players, which is what you're supposed to do as a head coach at times. It's not a one size fit all anymore. You know what I mean? So I do believe that the focus should be on, okay, we're getting after these guys. We're holding them accountable. We're not telling them to restart the play from where the play is at. Take it back to the huddle. We're going to do this perfectly all the way through. Is that having an impact on this team from year one or from week one to week two here? And again, it doesn't have to be a finished product. It doesn't have to be a polished product. But if you can go through a practice where, you know, you're looking at these players by the end of that practice and going, wow, they got into the huddle. They got out of the huddle. The execution was much better. I think you feel better from OTA 1 to OTA 2. Again, last OTA was an install period. They were figuring something. These were new concepts to everybody out there, and they were moving like they had been in the system for 10 years. So are you getting that continued growth? Just where, okay, I got to be in my spot, and I know where I'm supposed to line up. I know how it's supposed to work. I know what route I'm supposed to be running here. We're all going to be on the same page. Because those are things where if you can get on the same page now, and mistakes are still going to be made, but if you can get on the same page now, you can have that ready to go for week one. When's the last week one that lived up to a week one? When's the last week one that lived up to the hype where the Bears were talking about the preparation, going through the preparation, we're going to be prepared, and all of a sudden they actually looked prepared in week one? We haven't seen one of those. I'm not telling you got to be perfect, but look prepared for the matchup that you're going to be in. It's been a while. What? I'd say 2019 Green Bay? 2018 Green Bay? 2018 when we went to the playoffs. The last time I felt like week one of the season, we probably were prepared. And we ended up blowing that game too. But that may have just been Aaron Rodgers off the perky. So that's one thing that I do really want to see this team improve upon. Another thing to be watching for is who's going to be getting the number one reps on that off-ball linebacker spot. Now, again, that nobody is set. There's going to be a ton of movement here. But that Sam linebacker right now is a question mark for the Chicago Bears, because you've got a couple of guys who are going out for that spot. Now, that's not going to be somebody who's on the field all the time, but Daniel Hardy got some good run at that position. And friend of the show, we had him on the podcast with me and J-Mac. And I really believe that the situation around Daniel Hardy just, it screams, this is a guy that can fit in here at a different position and be able to make a great impact, especially in the run game. Daniel Hardy, somebody on special teams who I think could be a really, really good piece in that role as that Sam linebacker. But right now he's kind of playing a similar role in a sense in the special teams role, right? He's been asked to do just about everything on special teams. Is there a way that you can utilize his speed, his size, his ability to take over kind of that off-ball Sam linebacker spot? I think that's going to be something to really watch for the Bears here heading into OTA number two. And then, you know, Where does Ruben Hippolyte fit in? Where does Noah Sewell fit in? Those are all guys who are up for this position right now. Those are all guys who feel like they could go out there and win it. Noah Sewell's somebody the Chicago Bears have been trying to get the most out of for years now, and he just hasn't been able to stay healthy enough to actually go out there and make an impact at that position. So can you finally, I think this would be his third year in the league, can you finally make that leap from the question mark to an answer on this team? Something I think you're going to have to watch for there. And then, of course, just to see kind of where the offensive line is at cohesion-wise, and to see and to keep an eye on, honestly, where the offensive line is as far as that left tackle spot. Ozzie Trapillo, I don't know if you guys watched. I just got a chance to watch 1920 Football Drive. Y'all already know I'm hyped. Like, all of a sudden, I'm watching 1920 Football Drive, and it's the time of year where you sit there and you're just like, okay, I know that this ain't real. I know that this is just them hyping it up. You put some good music behind it, I'm going to be excited. 17-0. Oh, my bad. I didn't mean to go out there and yell that out. Like, I don't think the Bears can go 17-0. They're 10-17. We're not going to 17-0. We're not going to lose our minds and say that the Bears can go out there and win every game this season. Sweeping the Packers. You know what I mean? Like, that's how you feel after watching a 1920 Football Drive. That's at least how I feel watching 1920 Football Drive. But seeing Ozzie Trapillo go out there and hearing the praise that Ryan Poles gave him on, you know, we think that this guy could compete for the starting job at both tackle spots. Excuse me? Well, you've got Darnell Wright at the right tackle spot. So are you telling me that he could compete for the job at the right tackle spot? Or are you talking about just the left tackle spot here? No, we feel like he can compete on the right and the left side. Excuse me? So you and I've said multiple times, that's my favorite pick from this draft. It's the pick that I think the Bears absolutely nailed. I think you got great value with him in the draft, and I think that he's going to be somebody who can fit in, slot in, and be an absolute stud. And you have your bookend tackles while going out and signing your interior guys and getting the answers right there. I think that's going to be one where I'm really, really excited to see where Ozzie Trapillo is going to be slotting in here at this second OTA practice. I think he's going to be an absolute stud for the Bears, and I am excited to see, you know, the growth that he's going to have. And listen, that starting left tackle spot right now wasn't a great one, right? You started off with Karan Amagaji, first couple of reps, oof, rough. And again, you can't judge anybody finally. There's no depth chart set, but it was rough to see. They ran a couple of run plays. He looks really good in the run game at that left side. I think that's probably where he feels the most comfortable right now. It's going to take him a while to get there in the pass pro. Pass pro was rough. It was rough. So from practice one to practice two, how much growth have we seen on that offensive line? And who is really kind of sliding in next to Joe Tooney there on that left side is going to be something to watch for. Let me know how you guys feel in the comments below. What's the number one thing you want to see improve between OTAs number one and number two? Let us know in the comments below. I'll be down to talking with you guys as well. Want to keep this thing moving along, man. I appreciate y'all for showing love as you always do. Also, got to tell you guys that today's episode is also brought to you by Mitch Lyons Wealth. Mitch Lyons, a former NFL player who has shared some grass, not that kind of grass, with Yurko, and he's the expert in protecting your nest egg and optimizing your income. Go to MitchLyonsWealth.com. That's Mitch, L-Y-O-N-S, Wealth.com. MitchLyonsWealth.com, your best game plan to protect, grow, and win retirement. We're going to keep this thing moving along because another thing that you do have to watch for here in OTAs, I think, is going to be who the number one running back is going to be coming out of this whole thing. Now, that is a conversation that is probably not going to be set right now. You're definitely looking at DeAndre Swift as the number one running back on this team. But PFF's Bradley Locker dropped an article on the biggest question for every team, and this was the question for the Chicago Bears. What's the plan at running back? Ahead of the 2025 NFL draft, the Bears' most obvious need seemed to be at the running back, but with the draft in the rearview mirror and the dust settling on the offseason, there's little clarity regarding Chicago's intentions at the position. In his first season of a three-year, $24 million deal, DeAndre Swift, and they give the PFF number 65.7 PFF rushing grade, 18 runs of 10 plus yards, underwhelmed. Many anticipated the Bears cutting ties with Swift as Ben Johnson took the reins, but the former Lion is still positioned as Chicago's running back one. On top of that, general manager Ryan Poles didn't draft a running back until the seventh round by a Kyle Manungai, who had registered a college PFF grade of 78.2, and could add someone such as J.K. Dobbins, 67.1 PFF rushing grade. Could someone such as J.K. Dobbins be in play as an addition to a room that needs one? And here's what I'll say, right? Here's the conversation that I want to have around this. What is the plan at running back? So this weekend, when I read this article, I was like, you know what? I got some time. It's the holiday weekend. There's a little bit of time where I'm just not really doing too much, and the kids are kind of sleeping. Let me go back and watch some of what was going on in Detroit in that 2022 season last year when DeAndre Swift was there. Let me see if this is like, you know, a situation where, you know, they just found better value in Jamal Williams, or you actually felt like DeAndre Swift wasn't that guy. And the feeling that I get going back to that 2022 season, watching those games and seeing some of the moments that Jamal Williams was being put in that felt like perfect DeAndre Swift moments, and seeing Ben Johnson basically go, "Meh, we're good." Like, it's one of those things where I do wonder, is it just there's something about Swift that Ben Johnson doesn't trust? Has that changed? Is that something that you're going to all of a sudden go out and be looking to go into another season and feel comfortable with? Are you going to be looking to give DeAndre Swift the ball like you did in Detroit? Or are you going to have a ton more faith in him? Because there were so many scenarios with DeAndre Swift, who I think only got about 542 yards that season. Let me double check that there. Don't want to be giving y'all the wrong information. But the only thing about that is, like, there were so many of these moments. Yeah, 542 yards. He got 5.5 yards per carry. He had five touchdowns on the season, 48 receptions. But there were so many moments. And I'm not sitting here telling you that Jamal Williams didn't have a great season, but you can kind of tell, like, you're forcing it to Jamal Williams here. There's something going on with DeAndre Swift that Ben Johnson just doesn't rock with. And I don't know if all of a sudden all of that has changed as he's come here to Chicago, right? I don't know how the practices are going, how that preseason situation is going to work out, how training camp is going to work out. But I do wonder if there is still that we don't have the confidence in the running back room where we need it just now. Because you look at, if you don't have confidence in DeAndre Swift, and I don't know whether they do or not, but it didn't seem like that at all last time he was with Ben Johnson. But if you don't have confidence in DeAndre Swift, I don't think that you can sit there and go, yeah, well, Roshan's going to give us 17 games of health. We haven't seen that just yet. Are you all in on Kyle Manungai? You know, I'm a big Manungai, but are you all in on Kyle Manungai as the seventh round pick that's going to go out there and just give you all the answers in the world? I don't know if you can be there just yet. Are you all in on, you know, Ian Wheeler coming back, who's not even out there yet? Right? Are you all in on Ian Wheeler being back and all of a sudden being able to go out there and dominate at that? Like, you don't have a ton of options. And even in that situation, which is kind of what it felt like with that 2022 Detroit team, where you really had Jamal Williams, and that was kind of it because you just didn't want to give the football to DeAndre Swift. If you're going into this with the mindset that I'll just give the ball to somebody else, it might be beneficial for you to go out there and sign somebody that you feel more comfortable in, whether that is a Nick Chubb, who maybe you can get with a little bit more of a discount, or it's a J.K. Dobbins, who I don't believe that he's going to be in a trade situation at this point. I think that, you know, nobody's trading for J.K. Dobbins. It doesn't seem like it. It seems like that market is absolutely dead. So he'll probably be on the free agent market by the time things start to hit. Like, there's just all of these moments where when I got a chance to actually go back and sit down and watch some of those drives, some of those moments where it felt like that's a spot where you feel like DeAndre Swift would fit in. There was just a lack of want to go to DeAndre Swift in those moments. And if you do that in this running back room, you could be in a little bit of trouble with the running back room. Now, let me know how you guys feel in the comments below. Do you think that Ben Johnson's in a no-win situation here? Or do you think he should go out and sign some of the other names out there? I'll say this. With some of the names that have been reported that the Bears are being linked to and different things like that, I've seen a couple of different defensive ends. I've seen a couple of different, DBs that have been, which I don't know why we're talking about DBs at all with this team. We're good at that spot. I've seen a couple of different pieces that you could bring in as depth pieces. If you're going to bring in a guy to be a depth piece and you're going to try and get the most out of DeAndre Swift here, I'm not even big on paying big money on any of these guys, but I would at least kick the tires on Nick Chubb if you're going to bring in just depth anyway. Right. I understand the injury history. I understand the question marks. And I understand I'm not in the business of going out here and paying running backs, but you paid one $8 million. You're going to need to get the best out of them anyway. I would love to see what happens when you bring in an old college roommate. Can you get some of that lightning and thunder? Does DeAndre Swift suddenly fit some of the things that you're hoping he's going to be able to fit? And do you get a little bit of that bounce back season where, yeah, last couple of years of injury have held back Nick Chubb. And maybe he's not the same guy that he was, but is 80% of Nick Chubb better than what we have in the running back room right now? Or do you just run it back with the rookie? Again, you could go into this and say, we got Roschon Johnson, we got Kyle Manungai, that's our running back room, we're going to ground and pound, we're going to beat the heck out of you, and this is what we're going to war with, right? You would like to have that speed guy still in the backfield, which you do in DeAndre Swift, but do they utilize him enough? Again, I would implore you to go take a look at some of the situations that Jamal Williams was put in. Jamal Williams is not a pass catching back out of the backfield. Jamal Williams is a good runner. Right. I'll be honest with you. Jamal Williams isn't even a better runner than DeAndre Swift. If we're being real, but he's not a better runner than DeAndre Swift is. But if you go back and watch that 22 season in Detroit where he has 17 touchdowns, there was a force feeding going on and there was a want to not utilize Swift in those moments. And I just don't know if all of a sudden, because Ben Johnson is here, that's magically gone. Even with all of the things that we have heard about the Chicago Bears possibly trying to trade up in different moments to go after guys like Travion Hendrickson, or, maybe they didn't believe in Scadabo, but the conversation around possibly trying to trade up to go get a guy in the fourth round. I forget the running back that they said was possibly on the radar for them in the fourth round, but the trade backs were continuous for the third round. The trade backs were continuous for the Bears because they kept missing out on their guy. But there wasn't a lack of want to upgrade the running back position. So we'll see what ends up happening. I think that's one to really keep an eye on. That's one that I have some questions on. I don't know if I'm sitting here telling you that that's going to be the end of the world or that the Bears are, there's no chance that you're going to have success. Listen, y'all know how I feel. If I've got five offensive linemen up front that can run the football well, I think you're going to be fine running, or that can run block well, I think you're going to be fine running the football, because more times than not, you find a guy that just fits that role. I think you can do that with guys you have on this team, but do you have the depth to do that? That's the real question. And that's something that we'll talk about more, I'm sure, throughout the offseason. Let me know how you guys feel in the comments below. If you could upgrade one position before week one, is it the running back position, or would it be somewhere else on the field if you could help out with this team with upgrading one position? Let's finish it out with this, as PFF dropped a interesting wide receiver ranking that I think has some Bears fans in a bit of an uproar. Hit that like button, subscribe to the page if you have not done so. Lead a 5-star review. Y'all know what to do. DJ Moore coming in on the wide receiver list for PFF. They rank the top 32 wide receivers ahead of the 2025 NFL season. He is on the list, but he comes in at number 20, and there's a lot of Bears fans who have a problem with this list. Let me read you off the list here. Now, here's where my problem does begin with this list. A.J. Brown, number one. All right. A.J. Brown, best wide receiver in the NFL. I don't know about that one. Justin Jefferson, number two. Ooh. Ja'Marr Chase, number three. Okay. Triple crown winner, not the number one wide receiver. All right, that's cool. Amon-Ra St. Brown, and now that was tier one. Those are the top three wide receivers. That's your tier one. They then go to tier two. Amon-Ra St. Brown, Puka Nacua is five, CeeDee Lamb is six, Nico Collins is seven, Tyreek Hill is eight. That is your second tier. Tier three, Mike Evans is nine, Terry McLaurin is 10, Drake London is 11. Malik Nabers is 12. Garrett Wilson is 13. T. Higgins is 14. Brian Thomas Jr. is 15. Davante Adams is 16. Tier four begins. Here's where we get to DJ Moore. Devontae Smith is 17. Chris Godwin is 18. Brandon Ayuk is 19. And DJ Moore is 20. And here's what I'll say about this. Number one, for the quarterback situations that DJ Moore's have, to say that he's a top 20 wide receiver in the NFL, I don't view it as disrespectful. I don't view it as too low. It's probably right around where I would put him based off of what we saw last season with DJ Moore and kind of the ups and downs that were had from the relationship between him and Caleb Williams. And the thing that I keep saying is, who are you taking off of this list? You want to take Brian Thomas Jr. and move him out of the way? Sure. We want to go longevity. I think there's a conversation there. Brian Thomas Jr. had a phenomenal season last year, though. Brian Thomas Jr. in his rookie year in a season of turmoil had 1,200 yards and 10 touchdowns. He had a phenomenal season. Malik Nabers coming in at number 12. You want to move Malik Nabers off of that list? Listen, let's have the conversation. But Malik Nabers had a 1,200-yard season with 7 receiving touchdowns, and he had Tommy DeVito. Hey, he had Tommy DeVito and Danny Dimes throwing him the football last season. You want to talk about being in a bad quarterback situation? I've got both of those guys in some bad quarterback situations. Y'all know I don't believe in Trevor Lawrence. I think they paid that man just because he was the great hope down there. And they're hoping for more. And they saw that one playoff where they kind of forgot the fact that he threw 4 interceptions before he came back from a 4 touchdown deficit. Great game. Haven't seen that quarterback since. I don't know who you're moving off of this list. Maybe Brandon Ayuk coming off the injury is somebody you could move off of the list. But the season before, you're talking about a 1,400 yard. Was he 12? Hold on, 2023. Oh, I'm hitting the wrong button. That's why. 2023, a 1,300 yard season. 1,342 yards, 7 receiving touchdowns. The same year that DJ Moore had a 1,300-yard season, and he did it on 25 less targets and 25 less receptions. So it's tough for me to move anybody down this list. Now, if you have problems where people are placed in that top 20, I think that you can move some pieces around. But who do you move out of the way to put DJ Moore on there? Maybe you say Nico Collins is way too high, but again, just a phenomenal player last season. Stepped up in a tough moment where everybody else continued to go down. I think having DJ Moore at 20 probably is right around where he's at right now in the league. And by the way, that's not a bad thing. If you've got a top 20 wide receiver in the league, you can get some things done. And I think with the improvement of Caleb Williams, by the way, he's still a top 20 quarterback with all of the top 20 wide receiver with all of the turmoil that we saw last season, with all of the ups and downs, all of the struggles. Remember, all of those things that we give Caleb Williams a pass for, I guess, or that we sit there and say, well, no wonder this kid didn't have a great rookie year or the best rookie year, because who could be successful in this? DJ Moore was in that too. It's not just Caleb Williams was in that by himself. DJ Moore was dealing with those things too. And so to have a top 20 wide receiver with all of the turmoil that we saw in Chicago last season, I think you're in a great spot, especially if you believe that Caleb Williams is going to get better this season with Ben Johnson. If he does, guess who else gets better? DJ Moore. And I think the relationship is going to be a lot more on point. I think the utilization of DJ Moore is going to make a lot more sense. They got to a point where they were using DJ Moore as a running back last season. You know what I mean? Like, I think there's going to be better utilization. I think you're going to see DJ Moore start to be more vertical. Listen, the Shane Waldron conversation about him coming in, remember, there was a point last season where we talked about it on the podcast where you look at the passing charts of Shane Waldron and where he's been and how short all of the routes are because of his lack of offensive line development under his tutelage, right? Or if you want to attribute that to Seymour, I think you can do that as well. But you just weren't throwing the ball down the field nearly as much. That's not going to be the problem here with Ben Johnson. You're going to see routes that are vertical. You're going to see guys getting down the field. You're going to see a ton of really good action. And it's really just about, is Caleb Williams going to be good enough to hit those guys as they're going down the field? Is he going to be accurate enough to hit that deep ball, which I think was something that he was very up and down with last season. There were times when a deep ball looked great, usually when he had perfect protection. There were other times when a deep ball looked absolutely horrible, usually when the protection was breaking down and he was trying to make a play. But there's also those fun times where he's scrambling out. He sees a guy going down the field, DJ Moore, and he hits him in stride. We also had a DeAndre Swift play like that as well, right? So those moments, I think, are going to be a lot more frequent this season with how the Bears focused on the offense this offseason. And so having DJ Moore at 20 now means absolutely nothing to me. Is he top 10 by the end of this season? And dare I say, I think that he could be in that top 10. Look at Terry McLaurin, who has entered that top 10. I don't believe that Terry McLaurin is all that different from the kind of talent that DJ Moore is. And if we're being honest about it, there's a lot of those situations where DJ Moore could have had those moments where if you get the ball to me in short yardage, let me get this yak for you. There wasn't enough. I think we went the first 2 or 3 weeks where we weren't even throwing a ball to DJ Moore 10 times. Like, I doubt we're going to see those moments under Ben Johnson because Ben Johnson knows how to work an offense, how to run an offense. So I think we're going to be in a much better position here. I wouldn't worry about the top 20 rating off of PFF. I do think it's accurate right now. I think by the end of the season, we could be talking about him as a top 10 to 12 wide receiver on this list. But I do want to know how you guys feel in the comments below, man. Let me know where you think DJ Moore should rank among wide receivers. Is he top 10? Is he top 15? Or is he lower than 20? Are you out on DJ Moore? There's some people that are out on DJ Moore as the number one wide receiver on this team. That's crazy to me. But hey, man, let me know how you guys feel in the comments below. I'll be down there talking with you guys as well. As always, man, it's your boy Pat the Designer back at it again. Y'all stay safe out there, Chicago. Big Bear Don, one love. Be up at OTAs tomorrow. Me and J-Mac on the episode tomorrow reacting to what we're seeing from OTAs. Y'all stay safe out there, Chicago. Bear Don, one love. Peace.